Thank you everyone for joining. This is my podcast, and how I like to introduce myself is this: welcome to Intellectual Discussions, where many podcasts speak, but I like to add the full stop where it matters. This podcast is going to literally be about a discussion that I think needs to be had. I've seen a lot of things on YouTube where people are talking about gold diggers, the fact that the women of today are just rampant, in the sense that everything is about money. So I thought I would do a podcast on this, just basically calling it what it is, you know. So the questions that I'm, before I go into asking any questions, let's do it this way. I will start with you, Derek, in terms of introducing yourself. So, Derek, who are you? What do you do? Talk to me. Tell me.
My name is Derek Guan. I live in the southwest of England. I work in IT for a living.
Cool. And Hakeem, what about yourself?
So, my name is Hakeem. Based in the UK, traveled a lot. I would say I'm in the networking business, consulting business, so I deal with a lot of people on a day-to-day basis, both male and female. And yeah, so consulting in businesses and also in people as well. So a lot of network, a lot of psychology, neurology. Those are a little bit of my interests and such. So yeah, I'm really happy to be a part of this discussion. Happy to try and learn at the same time, get some insights, be vulnerable and open, and speak about my opinion. So yeah, it's really good to be on here. So let's see where it takes us. Quite interesting.
Excellent. Thank you, man. Thank you for that. So let me start off by starting off with the first question, which is, how has the female race changed since the 90s? I will start off on this one. I will say that for me, in the late 80s, very early 90s, in my point of view, women had one construct, and that was to find a good man, a man that didn't cheat, the man that wasn't a Casanova, all of those players and all of those things. They just wanted a man that understood the meaning of a relationship, of being in love, of saying the words love, of wanting a relationship and taking things to the next level, which is obviously to be married and to stay married. I just think, in my opinion, I think things have changed dramatically now. I find that certain women, not all, I want to put that out there, not all, but certain women are now seeing men as a cash point machine. And they're prepared to give whatever they need to give to get that money. Just to give you a prime example, when you hear things like, your money is our money and my money is mine. You know, those are the things that I'm hearing people say, and certain things I'm definitely seeing on YouTube and hearing from other people that are trying to get into a decent relationship. So I'll start with you, Hakeem. What is your views on that, in terms of what the women were like in the 90s compared to how they are now?
I suppose, yeah, things have changed a lot. Back in the day, it was a bit more openness and honesty in terms of a relationship. But then, I suppose, don't want to stereotype most women, there's this high expectation that the man does everything. The man pays for dinner each time, the man pays for holidays, the man, you know, absolutely just keeps on putting money in his pocket, putting his hand in his pocket all the time. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice, I suppose, so certain women, or women you might be dating, to offer. If they offered, I ain't got a problem with that. It's when it's that expectation, like if they go out and see an expensive handbag, it's like expecting you to go and buy it for them. You're right, everything's about money, everything's about what they can get, or what they kind of base the relationship on value, or what you can do for them, rather than opposed to making you strong, confident, and supporting you and listening to you. So luckily I've met someone now who is the total opposite. And then she's like me, a giver. Whereas I find it hard to spend money now with her, because she's always paying for anything. And I find that really enlightening. Whereas back in the day, I spent hundreds, thousands. I don't even want to go into what I've done in the past. And to what avail? They just take, 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 take. And there's this expectation that you know, the man does everything. Whereas, you know, if you get a good woman, a strong woman, independent woman, who sees you not as a cash cow, but as like an equal partner, that's what it should be like today. Whereas those people are rare to find, to be honest. And even if you get like a high flying professional, they're still looking for someone on six figures. Well, I mean, who invents that? Six figures. I mean, hello, £1 million. There's a very small percentage of men who earn six figures. So I don't know. It's this illusion where I think they watch too many shows and they look at this guy, you know, pulled up in a limo. You know, he's a not a billionaire, but a millionaire. Those men are hard to find, and those men are really picky on how they choose. Because they can get anyone because of money.
Well, you know, I'd like to add to that. There's also those men, they seek a certain caliber of women. For a prime example, sorry, I didn't mean to interject, but for a prime example, they want a young woman, a woman that doesn't have children, because they want that privilege. Because,
yeah,
I mean, just giving an example, how many rich men do you see? I mean, millionaire men. How many millionaire men have you seen with a woman that's had, just for an example, two kids by two different baby fathers?
Bang it up.
Have you seen, I mean, if you look at the celebrities, whether they be rappers or actors or whatever not, have you seen any of them that are dating women that have, I'm just, as I said, just a prime example of using a woman who has two kids by two different baby fathers. I've never seen it. I've never seen it. So I just think they've got a higher ratio of what they're looking for. And to be fair, they're millionaires. They can wait because they know that, you know, if they don't have the woman now, it's fine. Because remember, for them, they could turn 40, 50. They're still going to want that 25-year-old, that 30-year-old. And that 30-year-old woman will date that 50-something-year-old guy because he's a millionaire.
Yeah.
So, but Hakeem, I know, what's your views on it?
So, I think in order for me to answer the question, it's like a lot of things have changed during the 90s till now. Because I've been listening to both yourself and Derek. Even the social economic statuses, as well as stereotypes that we always hear, that you mentioned as well, that if it's our money, but if it's my money, it's my money. And I think under those pretexts and notions, there's a lot of huge change that has happened and taken place. But I guess the reason of it, why? Because it's not a personal attack on the female itself, because I know that there's a huge taboo subject of this sensitivity around it from so many different movements. Not that we're here to discuss those movements at this given time and moment, but I feel like there's been a huge neglect on the voice of the men's side of things. And I guess both parties do kind of take a part in the change that's happening. So from the 90s, what I can say is the changes that I've seen is the value structure that a woman has has changed. Also the value within herself, what she values, because the beauty industry has taken launch as well. As well as even to an extent where I've taught women as well. And listening to them and hearing from them has made me understand and realize, even as a youngster, they've been exposed to, even from cartoons to fairy tales to all of these things.
Now, the traditional media.
I would say, yeah, social media. But in summary, I would say in the 90s how it was and now how it is, like what you guys are echoing as well, 100%, where it was a more of a traditional sense of nurturing and wanting to be in service 100%. And of course, there's a lot of men out there who love to give service and giver, like Derek mentioned. Like I would say I'm aligned to that. I'm a giver 100%. I love to love. I love to give, right? So from the 90s till now, where it's been a little bit more commercialized, I see a lot of that happening right now, a lot of materialistic has kind of embedded in towards it that you mentioned about money and provisions and all of these things, which again, these are very relevant and noted facts that should happen for a woman to be provided and protected. Biologically, we're different, right? 100%, yes, we are equal, but biologically, we're totally different. We think different, we feel different, etc. So there's been a huge change, a huge shift. More especially in the last, from the 90s till now, and it's happened, it's unprecedented change has taken place in all avenues of life. That's what I feel. I'm a little bit of an old soul, although that I might not be there in age as much, but definitely I can see that huge impact and change, which is affecting relationships in general. So yeah, I see a huge difference there, where it's less of substance and more of materialistic surface level things, from my opinion anyways. That's how I'm feeling about it with the change.
Well, then, you know what, that kind of leads me on to the next question then, where I next question would be, what are the women's views on men? Now, essentially, I think we're all saying the same thing, that obviously it's not all women, it's clearly not all women, but there are a fundamental amount of women that just see one thing, which is money. When you go into detail in asking them about why do you think this way, all they're saying is, well, what else is there? Without money, you can't do anything, you can't go anywhere. But then when you indulge them and you go further into why they think this way, then it becomes social media. You've then got the normal channels that we have in the UK. You know, you've got BBC One, you've got ITV, they do it. Channel 4, Channel 5, they all do it. They will do, for example, what's that celebrity thing where get me out of here, sort of like you're in the jungle, and then you get me out of here. Now, if me or you, or if me, you, or Derek goes on there, we have to win to make money. We have to win, yeah? If we don't win, we're not going to do anything. If we're the first out, that's even worse. Yeah. However, if you're a celebrity and you go on there, you get paid, even if you get booted out straight away. So at the end of the day, everybody believes that they are an entrepreneur. Because at the end of the day, if you've got a YouTube account and you make money and you do this and you do that, you're somebody. And let's face it, obviously, if you have a YouTube account or whatever it is, TikTok or whatever the case may be, you can be a millionaire on there. It is easily done, but your life isn't your own anymore. But I guess my point of what I'm trying to say is that everything is now seen by social media. And as far as most women see things, is that without money, there is nothing more that you can do. So what's your viewpoints on that in terms of how do women view men? I'll start with you, Hakeem.
Oh, okay, cool. I feel like I'm going to go on a limb here and say, I think we all kind of have this problem with comparison syndrome, where we compare a lot. And social media, this machine that's come across right now, has now taken away so much happiness of what we can appreciate and what we have right now. So through that comparison and seeing these examples of all of these different podcasts and people standing up on controversial propaganda in America, or whether even it's in the UK, in so many locations and places, has definitely, I do agree, but it's influenced like women and how they see in comparison to men and how they feel about it. But the question, sorry, Trevor, was how do you feel about... What was the question? Sorry, I just lost my train of thought.
So the question was, what are women's viewpoints? What are their views on men?
On men. Yeah, so I do believe, traditionally, because I've spoken about that from before, that men are here to provide... We are providers. But then comes the second question is, what's the capacity, right? Because everyone wants a millionaire and everyone wants someone who's super successful. with all of the things that, whether it's a car and a watch, and we talked about gold digger and stuff like that. So how I think that women view men now is sometimes they feel almost to an extent that they're oppressive. They have this very sensitive kind of nature of any opinion that we want to speak against them or we disagree with them. Oh my gosh, you're being oppressive. And we've always got a terminology now in our modern day and age that you're being X or you're being Y. But we can't say that without substance. I'll sometimes have people having arguments with me, what I've had in previously of a woman having an argument with me, saying certain things, and I would say, okay, what does that statement mean? But she won't be able to expand on it. So I feel
I don't mean to interject, but I do agree with you on that, because the new word out is you're a narcissist.
That's the new narcissist word. Oh my god.
That's just the new word. That is the new word. every woman is using it. You know, it's no longer that, you know, you're a bad person or you abuse me, you're just a narcissist.
Yeah. Now we've got a personality disorder. Judging from our reactions, I feel like maybe we've all been called narcissists twice this week. I don't know.
But you know what? You make a solid viewpoint when you ask them, when you ask that particular woman what that word means, and they're stuck in terms of responding because they're followed. It's like they're following a new a trend or a fashion.
Bandwagon.
So just to say that, people will know what she means, but she doesn't know what the word means herself.
Yeah, just jumping on the bandwagon. I think that women think of men as attackers, right? And I feel like women see themselves as victims. They've got, again, not all, but I'm talking about mainstream-wise, that they've almost victimized themselves and said, oh, here I am, and this is unacceptable, and X, Y, and Z. And you can expand that furthermore. So how they view us, that's what I feel, as almost as perpetrators, oppressors, any small thing that we do, and it's amplified right now. And at the beginning of the session, I mentioned, like, you know, neurologically and biologically, they are different. The chemicals are different. The hormones are different. I understand that. I'm trying to study and learn women. Why? Because I'm a lover. I love to give. And I want to learn about how I can help you and support you. I understand that. There's no deficiencies that you have. If anything, it's more beauty than anything. And I appreciate women so much. And I love women. Their nature, their way of essence. And I feel like it's important for me to say this, especially on this topic that we're talking about, because it might be seems like, oh, okay, these guys are just here out talking against women.
Negative.
But just our truth, right, lads? I feel like just the truth to see what it is, if we can have an open discussion from the other parties. But that's how I feel, how women look at us, how they view us as well. And also, another one is a huge one, is expectations. Wow.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Clark Kent, Spider-Man, whatever it is. I'm just naming Marvel superheroes. But we are human too. That's how I feel sometimes, right? That I am human too, and I feel the expectations are way too much on men. They have such an expectation. Again, I don't know if it's correlated between having that hero coming to save you from childhood psychology, because we're talking about the 90s and so many things have changed systematically. Even capitalism has a part to play with this. So I want to see who the real problem is. I forgot his name. He was a African-American comedian, very famous. Richard Pryor, I think. He was in an interview and they were speaking to him and they said, I heard that you're trying to fight against racism and you feel like the higher powers don't want you to fight against racism. He said, no, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make people understand, even in racism, that when we stop fighting against each other because we think we're the problems now, each other are the problems. Once we stop doing that, then we start really focusing on the real problems. And then the interviewer said, then what's the real problem? And he goes about the greedy people, they want to get away with what they want to get away with, so they made sure that we fight amongst each other. Therefore, we can't look at the real topics, which is capitalistic, capitalism, right? So I feel like it kind of touches towards that, men and women, and because I'll be honest with you, the power of a man comes from a loving woman, man. Wow. For me anyways, like if my home is calm and everything is okay there and I give love and receive love, then I'm strong. So it's just circling back to my point from the social economic statuses have changed, so many things have changed. I'm trying to give reasons as well behind why I think that's what's happened. But ultimately, in conclusion, victims mentality. Number two, we are some attackers or the perpetrators. And number three, our huge expectations. So that's how I feel about it.
Well, I mean, to add to that, I would say things like, so for example, you've got, how can I put this? Men have simple needs, right? So why do women struggle to meet them? Yeah, you then have, I'll give you a massive prime example here. A man's needs are free. However, a woman's needs cost money. And that's the truth. Because we don't, I'm not saying there aren't men that don't do it, but I'm just saying that it's just not enough of us. But what I'm saying is that men don't go out there asking women for money. You know, the terms of them being a gigolo was way back in the day. That term is now, you know what I mean? It's gone now. You know what I mean? Because a gigolo was providing a service, and that's what they were getting paid for. Yeah? That's the term, a gigolo, right? So men aren't that anymore. We were then classed as, we upgraded now to being players. Yeah? Then that got taken away from us because at the end of the day, the old G's didn't like how the new wannabe G's were trying to be. Yeah? So now they didn't like that term. So basically just got abolished. Yeah? But then, you know, you have so many women with just so many things that they want. And it's not even a need anymore. It's what they want. And it's just crazy. It's just crazy. I mean, I was going to ask Derek, but I think Derek...
Connections. You may jump back in. I had that previously. You may jump back in, but...
So it looks... I don't know what's going on here, man. But at the end of the day, I just think... For me, anyway, how I look at things is that I just think that. Oh, he's back.
I'm back. Yeah. Hi. Yeah.
Let me just reiterate what it was that I said. I don't want to go into the long speech of things because anyone listening to this will be thinking, "Oh my gosh, not again." So what I was saying was, men have simple needs. Why do women struggle to meet them? Yeah. Then I said, for a prime example, a man's needs are free. However, a woman's needs cost money. And that is the truth. Yeah? Because a man, let's just be that person in the middle. A man will want sex. That's free. A woman would provide that as long as you buy them a handbag, some designer, something. You know, pay their bills, something to that effect, but it costs money. A man won't say, "I want sex. Pay me so that I can have sex with you." It can't be done. It doesn't make sense. The woman isn't asking sex of the man. The man's asking sex from the woman, but then the woman has to pay the man so that he can have sex with her. That just won't happen because it sounds ridiculous. But yet, it sounds okay for a woman to say, "I'm happy to give you sex, but I want you to pay my bills." So what I'm trying to say is, in essence, so I put this to you, Derek, in essence, what does that sound like to you? If a woman is...
prostitution, if you ask me, in the bleakest words. I mean, like, why you have to... In any sense, in essence, you pay for it anyway, no matter what you do, if it ain't a handbag or a gift or paying bills. Is this expectation that the man always provides? I mean, even if you have a professional woman with equal standing in terms of her job and what she does for a living, some you can get women who stand on their own, but this expectation or growing up or watching their parents, you know, or some of the issues like some young girls I've spoken to, I'm not going to go to university. I'm going to have a baby and get a free flat. It's an expectation that growing up, they look at a partner or a man to, like you said, provide. And that's, I think that's totally wrong. I mean, like, it's just social media, movies, films, the whole industry portrays us as being, like you said, the provider, but it's not always how it should be. I mean, it's just the way things are now in terms of how young women perceive men to be, in terms of them always being the ones who puts their hand in their pocket. I mean, it'd be nice if when they're growing up, that the parents kind of feed them that information that it's not always the case. I mean, I've got two daughters and they're totally independent, you know, they don't want for anything. So as far as their upbringing, where they're coming from, their situation in life, you know, whether, you know, if the parents are maybe of low income or something like that, and the women look at the way how mum interacts with supposed father, or in some cases there's two baby fathers in some instances, which, you know, it can't be helped, but just the way I suppose young girls are perceived and what they learn, and they carry on wherever they learn within their home, especially if it's a single parent family, they act that mode to get what they want because that's what they've learned, that's what they've seen, the culture's brought, they've grown up in such a way where they have to be a certain way to get what they want.
But then I'd have to interject in there as well, because you made a good point of saying that, you know, men are the providers, and, you know, whether I wish to agree with that or not, you are correct. However, where I would have to interject is where I would say men are providers, but they're supposed to be a provider to their woman. They're supposed to be a provider to their wife. I find that a lot of women are using what's happened in the 1700s, the 1800s, which is fine. Yeah, because a woman, when you say to a woman, you know, if I buy this and I do this and I pay for this and I pay for that, what would you do? Half of them won't even say they were clean, because they will say, well, what's the point of me cleaning when you can get cleaner? So already they're not even doing the basics. They don't need to cook because you're a millionaire. Let's get a chef. So then what do you do? And then what you hear is, oh, I would just look good. I'll be your princess. I'll be this. I don't want to work. I just want to be showered with gifts. The point about the 1700s and the 1800s is this. In the 1700s and 1800s, if the man was the sole, if he was the sole provider, the provider, as he's supposed to be, the woman is supposed to be housebound, in the sense that when you have the children, the house is clean, the dinner is cooked, and the service is provided is the man to ask for. Yeah? And I'm talking about sex. That was their role. Their role was to look after the house. The children cook the meals, kick and wash the clothes. That's what it was back then, 16, 17, 1800s. And a lot of women are asking for that, in the sense of the men being the provider, but they don't want to do their bit. They be in the house cleaning and looking after the kids. They want to be working. They want to be bringing in money, or they don't want to work. They want the man to do everything. And there's one last bit that I would like to add to this that I find very interesting. A lot of women will say that men are dogs, men are this and men are that. Okay, cool. However, you hear a lot of this being said, that the fathers, the baby fathers, aren't always in the man's life. So it's always been said that the women are having to be the man and the woman, the father as well as the mother. Yeah. So what they're actually saying is that woman, that baby mother, that mother is bringing up that boy. So if that is the case, and you say that men are dogs, think about what it is that you're saying. You're saying that all men are dogs, but yet they've been brought up by women, because you're saying that the baby fathers don't want to take on the responsibility. They just want to get in, get on, and then get out. However, think about what it is that you're saying, because if the women are bringing up the men or the boys to be a man, and they end up being a dog, what does that say for the women?
Yeah, that's a very good, very, very good point. It's just like, I suppose it's never going to change much unless you find someone, a gold nugget of equal sentiment and feelings and how it should be, and not someone who expects so much from, say, a man, it's hard to find. I mean, like I said, I've dated a few women in my time, and majority of it, yeah, I'm a giver. I always had this issue where I'm always putting my hands in my pocket for everything. They'll offer a little change now and again, but now I've met someone who can book me a ticket. I'm being taken to Malta in April. My her treat. That's rare. Nice. Whereas I can see myself, you know, spending money, going to Thailand and spending lots of money with people, trying to get them over and paying for flights, booking hotels. It's nice if you meet someone who is of equal sentiments, thoughts, process.
Yeah,
you hang on to that person. Trust me, they are rare. Really are rare. So that's why, you know, dating wise.
Well, it boils back to, you know, a lot of people are aging, not growing. A lot of people are getting more experience, but not more wisdom. A lot of people are learning what doesn't work, but never changing what it is that they do. Do you get what I'm saying? So that is how I see the spiral of relationships from a woman looking for just the money. I mean, Hakeem, I mean, do you want to elaborate on that? Yeah. Or, you know...
I think men are hunter-gatherers from intrinsic nature, right? Cool. And women are protector nurturers. They protect and nurture. Now, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, because even these concepts, like if they use, everything's a tool. If it's used correctly, then it's good. If you can have it like that, it's beautiful. Let's take, for example, there's been times where I've collaborated with women, and I found that with the right training mindset from both parties, they're really good at growing things sometimes, for example. So them wanting money and stuff like that, if it's used correctly, where they protect and nurture us, remember? So they protect the money, they nurture the money, they nurture the families. So it's a case of people like jumping into their roles, really. And then this epidemic of women with single mothers, I would say that's a relationship problem. I would say no one's really taught us how to be in a relationship. There's not been a subject in the last 100 years in the education industry about relationships, about love, about anger, about hope. There's been Pythagoras' theorem, but that's not going to help you if she calls you a narcissist and you're at each other's throats. So, of course, there's a real core problem and issue here about the education, what's happening. And I feel like we're talking about this, like what we're talking about, social media, boom, education, the TV, the movie, education. And I do believe that when a man can't stand, and this is very hard for me to say as a man, because maybe I've been there once upon a time where if a man can't stand, then the woman stands. And then it's a very vicious cycle of, you know, so many other cluster of emotions. I do understand that too, right? But you have to give both parties the space of being, and the invite, creating the environment for them to be a man and for her to be a woman. So I'm not going to turn around and say it's all on one side. And also, last thing that I'd like to touch upon is this issue of sex, right? So we have an innate kind of emotion that, of course, physical, men are quite physical. We are physically stimulated. We like physically someone who's looking appealing, of course, 100%. Women are more experience-based, but they're too physical too. They really want to have that too, just like us. So it wouldn't be necessarily where, again, it's like the man only wants sex. Yes, maybe when he's in his discovery period, but it's more so of a connection, you know, a connection. And that's what, you know, stimulates us really, and even stimulates them if there's a real connection, if she's making you really feel good about yourself and then you're connected. Otherwise, if she's at your throat, then sorry, mate, but the connection's not going to work and you're going to think you've got a problem and you're going to go to the doctors, but really it's the connection issue, right? So,
yeah,
I feel like that in summary, like about roles, and I feel like we're talking about that and how can we get to that place? That's what I'm really trying to work on. And having that healthy discussion for whoso may ever be listening to this, both men and women, because again, there hasn't been a subject in history where a subject about women or a subject about men, how men are different, how women are different, but these are the real problems in life, right? But yeah, that's how I'm feeling.
I mean, we could press on to the next question. Yeah. We've kind of answered it, which would be the expectation, values, and self-respect. I think we've already touched on that, because at the end of the day, the expectations of what a woman's requirements are of a man is money. I'm not saying all women. You know, I want to make this podcast balanced. I am not talking about all women. I am talking about the certain individuals that are out there. Yes, women may be listening to this and be saying, yeah, but men this, yeah, but men that. And you're probably right. But in my view, we talk about men all the time. You know, we've been told we're dogs, we've been told we need to do better, we've told to do this, we've told to do that. All the time. We've always been told, it's echoed all the time. But
true.
When we now want to talk about women, women then want to turn around and then say, yeah, but men done it. So we're back to talking about men again. So that's why I'm saying the expectations and values and self-respect, it's all gone out the window in terms of that, because the expectations is money. The values are literally, you know, I need a man that can meet my values, my self-esteem, what it is that I'm looking for, my requests, and it's always to do with money. And the self-respect, well, they don't care, because it's a social media thing. And it's like a new TikTok hype. Yeah. Everybody's doing it. So it can't be wrong if everyone's doing it. Yeah. So going on to my final point, which is where I say, how do you see things going forward if this is the new female way of doing or seeing things?
That's a good question. I think technically you just got to find the right person. I think that's bottom line is, so many people are being indoctrinated in social media and the way things are, and they think that's the right way. But there's going to be some independent minds, intelligent minds, who know how to treat their partner, who know how to respect, you know, support and build a person. And it's vice versa. That male person could do the same for his partner. So you're going to find someone of equal standing and the same kind of mindset. It's finding the right person where you get that connection, and it's like fluid. There's no isms between I want this, I want that. I mean, the person I'm looking at and seeing now, she's doing what I used to do, like providing for me. I can't, it's freaking me out. The fact that she's like, she knows she'll cook my.
Lucky man.
I haven't been to Tesco's in months. She orders a cardo. My food gets delivered. If I need beer or food, she puts in the freezer. She'll cook dinner.
Yeah.
She'll come around tomorrow. She'll change the sheets on the bed. Wow. Put my washing on. I'm not saying.
You got a good one.
I'm not saying it's all about that, but I've never had it before.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? She does everything. And I'm told I can't even get up off the sofa. No, nope, I'll give you a beer. It's like, wow.
You see, that's what.
So I'm just enjoying it. You know, so I'm saying I'm what
that
means.
But that's about. Exactly, me too. But that's about balance. And that's all I've been talking about is balance. Yes, I know men will supersede that because we're the provider. I get that.
Yeah.
But as I said, in the 1700s, 1600s, 1500s, how it was, because this is what women want, because remember they keep saying that word, men are the providers. That's what they were back then. Not saying they're not the same now, but things have kind of changed because things have changed. You know, back then, they didn't have TVs. Yeah, so there wasn't social media. Yeah, back then it was just about having a horse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just having a horse, it was a big thing because people were walking.
Yeah.
So you got to remember, you know, they didn't have a mobile phone back then. You know, there wasn't anything to do with, you know, owning a building where you're making money. it wasn't about that. It was just about survival and holding a trend for your neighbor.
Yes.
But
yes.
The rules were still the same. The rules were still the yes. same. The woman stayed at home.
Yes.
They could still meet up with their friends, but they didn't work. They stayed at home, looked after the kids, made sure the clothes were washed, and made sure that the meal was on the table. That was their sole responsibility for a man, whether it be the husband, or majority of the time it was the husband, for the husband that was the provider, which is where that word comes in, the provider. You know, the point is this, your value is not what you provide, your value is in who you are, your value is in who you are even when you're tired. It's as simple as that. And a lot of people don't get that. They just don't get it because social media has just blown it out of the water. And let's face it. Let's face it. Sometimes when they get what they want, and again, not all women, when they get what they want, they don't know what to do with it.
I've seen that.
So it's just crazy. It's for me, it's crazy. It would be nice to have them women back how it was in the 90s, the 80s, the 70s, the 60s, 50s, whatever.
In the 90s and the 70s and 80s, how would you describe the women in the 90s, 80s and 70s and 80s? What's the feeling? What's the things that you see them as, how you see them as? I'm just curious.
Right. So in my opinion, back then, women knew how to dress appropriately. Big factor right there, right? So, for example, when you went into a nightclub, or you went into a house party, whichever one you want to put it, wine bar, whatever. When you had R&B
Ray J.
People were doing the New Jack Swing and they were just doing their thing, you know what I mean? When you put hip-hop on, people doing the Running Man, as well as they're doing it with the New Jack Swing, whatever. And then you had your soul, you had your rugger, you had your slow jab. But when you put on the Miami bass, that was when men and women freaked out. It was supposed bumper to be to nasty. Bumper. That's what it was all about. Right. However, men would only play that, or a DJ, I should say. A DJ would only play maybe three, if you're lucky, four of those tracks. And that was it. Then it would go back to the tradition. So to me, how I look at things is this. Back then, women knew how to dress, whether it be casually or going to work. Women's mindset was set in the terms of, I want a God-fearing man, right? I want a man that knows how to love. I want a man that understands the term of love. I want a man that understands the difference of loving someone and being in love with someone. I want a man that wants to commit. Oh, do you remember that word? Commit. That's what they kept saying. Commit. That's what they were saying. Now, where is all of those values? Where are they? It's gone. So this is what I'm saying. It's changed so dramatically. Yeah. If you commit to a woman, as far as she's concerned, she's going to say, I want to commit to you.
Yeah.
And I also want to have your baby. Why? Because if I commit to you and it doesn't work out, what I've got for me is what I've got. However, if I commit to you and I have a baby, you have to pay. Because now I'm looking after the child. So you got to pay child support. So now I'm guaranteed a big lump sum of money every month because he's rich. And what I will do, if he's giving me 40 grand a month, I'll make sure 30 grand of that goes into my account and 10 grand goes to look after the child. Yeah. And let's face it, £10,000 a month is a lot of money.
It's
a lot of money,
It's a lot of money. So to her,
I feel like what you're saying, I'm feeling as well, is the disproportion, like the justification, saying that, of course, we want to pay for the child and we want to do X, Y, and Z, but when what they ask for is for their own kind of needs, they get really resentful and spite. And I'm so happy you mentioned about how you kind of seen the 70s, bashful, wonderful, beauty, elegance, shyness, consideration, commitment. Wow, what a beautiful word. commitment, and I think you've got that. That's his like volumes. That's,
yeah, commitment.
That's his like so many different words. Commitment. Like, what does that mean? And it's not about what you provide. Yeah. It's the fact that you're providing. That's what I feel. Look, it's not how much you can bring, but it's what you're bringing. And I appreciate, baby. Oh, I appreciate you've gone outside and I don't know what you faced in the jungle, because we're hunter-gatherers, right? I'm Tarzan, going out, coming back in. And I don't know what you've, even if it's 10, 15 pound, 20 pound, but what you've done, and I think that's empowerment for us. I feel like men have been hurting, and I don't want to speak for all men, but I really do feel like, to an extent, especially the younger generations, we're hurting, and I can say even myself, to an extent, I've experienced that. Why? Is because of all of the loaded things that's happening to us, said to us. We got pressure as it is. We know what we are, hunter-gatherers. But I love the way you said it, Trevor. It's not about what you provide. It's about the providing, that you're doing the process. That's it. Now you're talking about the amount, million pound. Oh, I want 7 million.
Yes.
I want expectation. We talked. This is like the summary. I would like expectation. I want to go to Dubai. I want to go to Malta. I want to go to. This is what I, a Chanel, Dior, and X, Y, and Z. I like. Oh, come on! Look, there's levels, right?
Yeah.
Just let me do what I can in this world, and you know what I mean. But anyways, answering your question, what I think, if this continues like this, how it's gonna look? Messy breakdown of society. Messy breakdown of society. A lot of single mothers. Then what happens is, sometimes when my experience, and again, I'm gonna take this from Trevor, because Trevor's really saying that. Because sometimes I'm a bit, I could understand. I'm being cautious as well, but I shouldn't be. I should be open. And I could hear that vibe from you, Trevor. Like, no, this is about man. I know what you're trying to say. So I feel like. It's quite loaded, and I would say it's just loaded. I guess I think it's gonna be very messy if this a breakdown of society, and then what women do. I just remembered what I wanted to say. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. Is women are resentful. That's what I've seen. Bitter. Now, a man can get angry. When a man gets angry, he will still continue to do X, Y, and Z, irrespective. But when a woman gets angry, she gets bitter and resentful. And what she would do now, let's say in the break, how I feel like I view how it's going to turn out, is, let's say you have, for example, and I'll go ahead and say this for myself. I have been married, I've come out of a marriage, and I have a child with her. So this is, again, I don't want to be a bias to only her, but also all other individuals. When they get resentful, they would put that resentment towards the child. Like, he is, he's the enemy.
He's the enemy. I've seen that before. Yes, you use it as a weapon.
He never did love you. You're destroying and distorting the psychology of that child because of your resentment. But a man, he sees above his emotions, and he will still turn around and not backtrack. No, she's a beauty. Don't you dare disrespect your mother, for example. If you ever open your mouth and say, I don't care what it is, but whatever your mother says, you need to follow. But it's not on the other side. It's just not there. So therefore, I see messy. I see the breakdown of society. I see, again, a really vicious cycle of other men. And quite frankly, it's funny, because women don't want that, but they're going to be creating another system. And if they do be resentful, they're just going to make the child into an oppressive man. And then it's going to be like, the woman's going to be like, see, all men are like this. Men are dogs. And the circle goes round and round again. And sometimes men are like, you know what? I've had enough. I can't fight fire with fire. I'm just going to step outside. That's why we step outside. It's like, I can't make her understand. Sorry,
I mean, Derek, I mean, just because I know we've got to wrap this up. What is... No, because what you're saying is valid points. It's valid points. Derek, you know, making it short, what is your viewpoint on that? I mean, given what I've said, given what Hakeem said, what is your viewpoint from what you
just give me a guidance in terms of what how the future is going to lie? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and from what you've heard from me, what you've heard from Hakeem, and what you've witnessed in your own.
Well, nothing's going to change. I think it's going to get worse. I think because of social media and all the different outlets there are around, there's going to be a perception from, say, young people, young ladies, or even young men are going up a certain way because they see and they think, like Hakeem said, they think that's the correct way. The old days were good because you had no influence from social media, your Facebook, your TikTok, your, you know, Instagram. It's too much in our face now. So growing, I mean, young kids don't read books no more. They know how to flick the iPad. Or if you're in a car, they'll know a McDonald's sign without even speaking. So I think it's too late now. I think it's gone way past any change. I think it's what's going to happen now, what is happening now, is the fact that because social media is so embedded in our lives at the moment now, there's going to be a perception, young ladies or young men growing up, that there's always going to be the expectation that we always put our hand in a pocket, or they have a baby with a partner to get a property or stake in, say, someone's child money per month. I mean, I was married. Luckily, we didn't have kids, but I was married to Philippa. We still had this allegiance where the kids came first, in terms of we put all our differences aside and just focused on the kids, and they're doing really, really well now. Whereas, you know, some relationships, they break down in such a way. I've seen it and heard that the wife or the partner uses the kids as a weapon. So, you know, any visitation rights, or if the father wants to get involved, he can't come around at certain times, or he's got to do this, he's got to do that, he's got to provide for this, he's got to provide for that. Where they're obviously living their lives and dating, but yet they want to keep them on a string. So I think, yeah, I think it's too late now. The way it's going at the moment now, it's going to get worse. Unless we stand up for ourselves and put things how we want them to be, that's the only way we can change. If an individual knows his worth, knows where he's at, then he can make that change for himself. And if that person is weak, doesn't like it, move on, next.
Right.
So I think that's where we are at the moment now.
I mean, I'm a great believer in balance, because I like to believe in hope. I'm in hope that there will be change. I understand, you know, for change to happen, things have to get worse before they get better.
Yeah.
And social media has made things a lot worse. Where yeah, it's supposed to make things better. And yes, it did make things better, but people find a loophole. That's just what it is. Yeah, that's just how it is. You've got politicians doing the same thing. You know, millionaires are supposed to spend this amount of money and pay this amount of tax. But then there's a loophole, and their accountants will find it. So we're left with that illusion that they're paying all this tax, but they're really not, because they're getting it back in a year. So, I mean, what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to wrap this up, because I can see that we can go into this. And I knew this was going to be the case, you know, because it is one of those topics in where you want to express your points. This is what it's all about. But I mean, for the ladies, for the women, for the women that are listening to this, as far as I'm concerned, I look at it like this. You're not broken. You're just waiting for someone to remind you that you're still here. That's all I have to say to you, ladies, because to me, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't expect us to be the provider and you're not the woman in the house looking after the children. If you make a change to that statement of how things were, or how things are, or can be, the men have to make the change to adapt. You know, one can't go up without one going down. You can't have light without dark. You can't have good without evil. There needs to be a balance so that things can make sense. And if you have it your own way all the time, then at some point you're going to get bored. Well, I've heard a lot of women say that they go to these single nightclubs and there's a flourish of women there, and there's only a handful of men. Yes. And then they turn around and say the men see us sitting there and they don't even bother ask us for a drink. They don't buy us a drink. And I'm thinking, well, we're in this world where you keep saying to us, whatever a man can do, a woman could do better. So if a man can buy you a drink, then why not buy us two? It's as simple as that.
There you go.
Yeah. Simple as that. But guys, I'm going to have to wrap this up.
Thank you.
And I'm going to say, I want to thank you both for coming on here, expressing your viewpoints, because it was very interesting. And I hope my viewers take that into consideration. We are not ganging up against women. We're not ganging up against ladies. We're not ganging up against girls or whatever the ladies or the way that you want to shape things. We're not doing that. We're expressing our opinions because this website is called Intellectual Discussions, and that's what we're having, a discussion. However, if you want to come onto this show, by all means, you can go onto the website. Our website is www.intellectual-discussions.co.uk. Once you go on there, if you go onto the contact page, you'll then see be a guest. If you put in your email, the subject, and put a message, then you know that will come to me and I will make that contact. If you want to keep in touch, if you scroll down, you'll see where it says an email address, which says info@intellectual-discussions.co.uk. You can also put your information in there where it says send us a message, where you can provide your email, subject, and again, a message, and press that send button. All I have to say, people, is thank you very much for listening. Thank you to my guests for being on here and expressing their views. I really do appreciate it. Thank you kindly. And for the listeners who are listening, please tell somebody to tell somebody else about Intellectual Discussion and let's talk about it on here. Because as I says, welcome to Intellectual Discussions, where many podcasts speak, but I like to add the full stuff where it matters. Thank you once again, gentlemen. It has been a pleasure.